You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
This Green Bay Packers podcast is brought to you by Mayfield Sports Marketing, our official sports marketing agent for player appearances. To book a Packers player for your next event, go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances. Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Nieces, little having little nieces and nephews are good for fetching you beers. Hey, are you in there? Are you guys in there playing video games? You're closer to the back porch. Can you go get me another? Can you get Uncle another beer?
It's only when they get a little older they think you have a problem.
Yeah.
Right now they're just being cute.
They think it's cute. They're like helping. Yeah. They don't realize that like Uncle Ty's is drinking into the Packers not playing well.
Oh boy.
We have seen big plays from Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
319.
I'm at your service.
All season long.
We gotta get this thing amped up.
With the three guys, Chris and Adam.
Woo!
And Aaron likes them.
Are you kidding me?
I love them.
Hello, Packer Nation, old Bega Donut listeners and followers. I'm Adam Summers, joined by my bestest friend in the world, Chris Lempesis. You fully recovered from Turkey Day yet?
Yeah. You know, it's funny, like, I was watching the game, and I was at my parents' house in Marquette, Michigan, and, like, my brother was over and stuff. Like, let's see how long it takes me before I, you know, grab one. And it didn't take long. And my beer was almost gone by the end of the game.
Well, the game started out, you know, fairly well for the Packers. And you're like, all right, you know, the defense caught some breaks. So if you had said, you know, in this game, Tremont Williams would have picked up a pass. And Morgan Burnett would have scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
You know, the two, you could say, goats on this defense this year.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great start. That's what I mean. Like, I don't even think I had a drink till like, I was like maybe early second quarter, late first quarter, but then they started flowing pretty fast after that.
Yeah, it was hard to stop. It was like an open wound.
Nieces, little having little nieces and nephews are good for fetching you beers. Hey, are you in there? Are you guys in there playing video games? You're closer to the back porch. Can you go get me another? Can you get Uncle another beer?
It's only when they get a little older they think you have a problem.
Yeah.
Right now they're just being cute.
They think it's cute. They're like helping.
Yeah.
They don't realize that like Uncle Ty's is drinking into the Packers not playing well. It's pretty.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But that's a common theme all across Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah. And in large pockets of the Upper Michigan, Upper Peninsula too, I should say. Yeah, I mean, I kind of had checked out by the fourth quarter, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely, I'd say this game represented, though. I mean, if you talk about bottom out, the lowest point of the season, this is it.
Yeah, I mean, this has to be rock bottom. I said that on Twitter, too. I was like, I mean, I was wrong, but I was like, well, welcome to rock bottom. And someone was like, well, I don't think this is rock bottom. And I was like, you don't? Like, I was like, what's worse? Like, the team plane crashes on the way back to Green Bay? Like,
I mean, it's by far the worst game they've played all year. And it wasn't so much that they lost the game. If they lost by three without Rodgers in there against a decent Lions team on the road, you know, it would have sucked. It would have stung. But it's just the fact they just got dominated. I mean, there's so many stats we could rattle off that everyone's already seen. You know, the last time the Packers did this, the last time they scored this many points or had this many yards, that, you know, they had more, you know, just made punts as first down. I mean, just all these crazy, you know, stupid stats. when you have a game like that, it's just,
it was just like, yeah, and it just seemed like there was just such little fight in the dog, you know, like that was the one thing my father and, you know, my siblings and I and my girlfriend and stuff were all watching the game, and it's like, where is the heart on this team? Like, did these guys, like, you know what I mean? Like, it just felt like they were all just like, let's just get this shit over with.
Yeah, it did seem like that. So, we're going to wait a little bit to dive into this question, but I really don't want to recap the ins and outs, X's and O's of this game.
There's not really much more you can say other than, like you said, it was rock bottom. It was pathetic, yeah.
Yeah, in your mind, what's this? I mean, there's multiple issues with the team. What's the singular most issue coming from last week and probably for the season? Going forward, going to this week, the rest of the season, 2014, what's the biggest issue?
What are they going to do with this defense?
Is it just a change of voice, though, or just a complete overhaul?
See, that's kind of the million-dollar question right now amongst Packer fans and beat writers and everything. I don't know. I mean, I was just saying this today again on Twitter that, like, I can't put this all on Dom Capers. Like, I just think anybody who does that that's not correct. You know, players make or don't make plays. I mean, that's all true. But, like, I don't know. Doesn't it just kind of feel like it's like a relationship that's just gone stale between the players and the scheme and Dom? You know what I mean? Like, it's not bad, but it's just everything is kind of predictable and boring and stale.
It seems that Don has turned into more when he, even, you know, majority of his coaching career, why he's, you know, was defined as a defensive genius. And, you know, even when he came first to Green Bay, I mean, he's had his moments, his bright moments.
Oh, yeah.
But he's turned more of a, he was always a proactive coach, coming up with these crazy schemes, these crazy formations. I mean, remember the creativity of, like, the cycle package and what's the other
Big
one?
Big Oki.
All these crazy ideas of basically how can we attack? How can we attack? And it seems like the last two seasons it's more or less, okay, how can we react to what the offense is doing? I just think you've seen the same thing with another guy in the same, you know, coaching tree as him, Dick LeBeau in Pittsburgh. It's, you hate to see the games passing them by, but both those guys are in the mid-60s. And when you turn into more of a reactive defensive coordinator, that's, the game has passed you by.
See, that's what I think, too. And I think that was why Thursday was so disheartening, because there's kind of a trend with Capers, and it's like all throughout his time in Green Bay, it's like he'll be aggressive if he has all of his chess pieces, you know? But if there's like a cornerback out or a safety out or a linebacker, like Dom all of a sudden becomes very conservative, you know? Which, okay, that is what it is. And I think Thursday was so alarming to me because everybody was healthy. Or maybe not 100%, but you know what I mean? They were all on the field.
Yeah.
Everybody was present and accounted for. And they were still soft, and they still just got ripped apart. And it was like, that for me was kind of like the last straw, where it was like, okay, if there was any doubt about Cape, like, I think there needs to be a change here at the end of the year.
Yeah, and if there is, there's probably going to be other coaches that go with them. You could point out good parts of the Stevens and bad parts, but secondary's been an issue. But you've heard Deron Perry's been a classic, you know, class guy that he's been, you know, probably pass over a few defense corner positions. Winston Moss has always been, you know, talked about as a potential head coaching candidate. Everyone loves Kevin Green, I think more so for the name and the hair and the attitude than his actual coaching style. But, you know, how many of those guys get retained if Capers leaves?
That's a good question.
And how many should be retained? Do you go out and bring in the new defense coordinator? They bring in a whole new coaching staff?
That's a great question.
Or do you promote from within, since you have candidates that have been candidates for defensive coordinator positions in Perry and Moss and defensive line coach, blanking on the name.
Strobeck.
Wasn't he the D coordinator in Carolina?
That was, he got fired from there and then came to Green Bay.
So he has D, and you could say the D line has probably been the strongest part of that defense this year. Yeah. So do you promote from within and Capers just kind of resigns, retires?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's... Well, and I do think that's what's going to happen. I think Capers' contract is up at the end of the year, and I don't think Mike will fire him. I think it'll be one of those Dom has decided to retire, to step away from coaching.
Yeah.
Type things. I don't think they'll drop the hammer. Well, if his contract is up, it wouldn't matter anyways. But, yeah, no, I think you raised some great points. Because, you know, it's interesting. They had one of the sports talk shows here in Milwaukee. Had Wes Hodkowitz from the Green Bay Press Gazette, mm-hmm. who's, I think, been on Cheesehead Radio, actually, as a guest. But, anyways, he was talking, this is a week or so ago, about Capers' scheme and about how when you talk to people around the league, like, it's a good scheme. Like, it's at least, I don't know if it's a good scheme. It's one that people around the league like. You know what I mean? It's often copied. Often coordinators will take it and tweak some stuff. But sort of the same basic tenets that Capers has are the same. So I don't know if it's tweaking, you know, doing a whole new version of the 3-4, or if it's just having a fresh voice, you know?
You know, I'm kind of leaning towards me just the fresh voice. Because
that's what I think, too. I don't think the scheme is so bad.
And I think with the fresh voice, it comes effort. I think it comes discipline.
Yep.
And the team hasn't really been undisciplined from a penalty standpoint this year, but discipline to stay in your lanes, make the tackles, be controlled aggressiveness. I just think there's a fresh voice is not so much, you know, players responding to it, but also playing a different style. And maybe promoting from within can keep everything in place. You have a lot of good candidates. I'd say three candidates who can be a defense corner on this defensive staff.
Yep.
Obviously, if Caper leaves, or, you know, if Moss gets promoted, Perry can leave. I don't know, you know, if they're friends or not, or, you know, maybe one of them gets a D-corner job somewhere else. I mean, there's going to be turnover in the staff. I don't think it needs to be an overhaul. Because you also have to look at, it's not like this defense is, you know, bare. There's a lot of playmakers.
I agree, man.
I mean, there's multiple, you know, defense corners around this league who, you know, may be looking for jobs or, you know, have been established in this league who would be chomping at the bit to take over this Packers defense.
Oh, yeah.
Just for the, you know, sole fact that you have a guy like Clay Matthews you get to work with. You know, he's your calling card. If you want, you have a guy you can build a defense around. There's probably only 10 teams or less around this league that there's one guy on their defense you can build a defense around. Packers have one of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I totally agree. And I don't think – and I, you know, I hear so much – the cries are getting louder and louder of, well, there's not that much talent on this defense.
Bullshit.
Bullshit. I beg to differ, man. Clay Matthews, talented player. Really, you know, all-world player. Sam Shields, Mike Daniels, Nick Perry, if he ever can stay healthy, you know.
You can throw Casey Hayward in
the mix. Casey Hayward in the mix.
Dayton Jones. Johnny Jolly, B.J. Raji.
B.J. Raji, if they bring Ryan Pickett back. Right, like, there's a lot of talent on this defense. It's not the, it's something isn't getting the player, you know what I mean? Something's not clicking. From coordinator to on field, something's not working.
Yeah, let me ask you this question. If there is a change in defense coordinator, I mean, there will be. There's been some overall views. How many of these players would you want the Packers to get rid of or not bring back? Depending, you know, if the salary cap didn't matter. Like, how much turnover in personnel do you want from this defense next year? Like, who's for sure gone? I can think of maybe two guys, and that's it.
You're talking about no worries about salary cap or anything. Too cool.
Yeah.
Well,
you don't have to worry,
MD Jennings?
Yeah, okay, I guess I have three now.
MD Jennings, what, Tamon Williams and...
Brad Jones.
And Brad Jones.
You may have to overpay for B.J. Raji. Maybe he's not worth the money, but the talent's there, the youth is there. He still has not good years left of him. You should bring back Mike Neal. That's another guy we didn't mention, who's just on the cusp of being a dominant pass rusher.
I think so.
And A.J. Hawk's coming back. He's solid. He always has been solid. You know, maybe Pickett gets more money somewhere else. You could justify that or not. But there's only two or three guys on this team that you can really say, well, they need to get rid of. Morgan Burnett, like him or hate him, he's not going anywhere because of his contract. And I think we've seen enough of Burnett over the last couple of years that he's due for a second chance. Maybe he's just not 100% healthy this year. Maybe he's just having a down year. That happens from time to time. But he's done enough, and he's young enough to, you know, warrant coming back for another go around.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yeah.
So
there's so much, particularly on the D-line.
Don't forget, you got Jarrell Worthy, who's just way in the wings.
There's so much talent on the D-line, you know? And I think a large part, or I don't know if a large part, but I think a sizable part anyways, of the defense not being up to snuff in recent weeks, I do think is the fact that, like, Pickett is just getting more and more beat up as the year goes on. Jolly, you know, that groin injury, Jolly has not been the same guy since that groin injury. I hate blaming injuries, but you know what I mean? I do think that's part of it, that their whole thing was like, we've got the beefy guys, and then we can roll, you know, we can roll Mike Daniels and roll Dayton Jones at you in the pass rush, and Jarrell Worthy was just getting ready to come, you know, was just coming back off that, and he'd be that guy too. And then the big guys got hurt, and it was like, it does feel like a lot of the defenses faltered.
Well,
I mean, because
I think it's not getting any younger. That age could play a factor in that. And Jolly has been out of football for 3 years. And Jolly's never been a guy who's been, even when he was in football, a guy who you'd know who, even if he played through injuries, but you could tell when he was injured. His play definitely dropped when he was injured.
Yep. And it's hard for those. Right. And it's just hard for those big guys, I think, too, as the season goes on.
So, that being said, I don't know what. I think you can find out a lot in this last month. You know, you could say backs, I mean, their backs have been against the wall for the last 3 weeks. But guys are starting to get healthy. Besides Casey Hayward, you got the full complement. Who's going to step up? Who's going to be to take the bull by the horns? I mean, which guys are going to emerge in this last month? Maybe it's Jarrell Worthy coming back and making him. Can, you know, Mike Neal keep on his progression?
Maybe it's a guy like Sean Richardson.
Maybe it's a guy like Micah Hyde, even. Yep. I mean, we noticed him. I mean, I think you want to see the development of these players, because I don't think there's a lot of players on this team playing for their jobs. And the players who are playing for their jobs are basically knowing that they're going to be cut and they're going to audition for next year. And Tremont Williams has to know that he's not going to be back on the team next year. He just, for depth reasons and salary reasons alone, even if he was having a decent year, and I think he's been better this year than last year.
Mm-hmm.
But they have depth at corner, and they need to move on. So he's more or less just auditioning for, you know, somewhere else next year.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, in a sense, to me, is, we'll talk about this more in a little bit, but all the stuff about Rodgers getting shut down or not getting shut down, I do almost think, not that I want to see it, but from like a fan standpoint, like if Rodgers were to just be shut down for the season, like, well, you'd get a real, you know, we'd really learn a lot about who these guys really are over this last month of the season, you know, who is who, who's a quitter, and who's willing to keep going.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things you learn. And
who's willing to, like you said, step up and make plays, or step up and emerge and make a name for themselves. Because it can't all just be when 12 comes back. It can't just be, all right, Aaron Rodgers is back. You know, now we're going to lean on him. Like, I wanted to see some more guys on this team step up. I think that's been the most, does that make sense? You know what I mean? That's been the most disappointing thing for me. Even with all the losses, more disappointing than that is just how many guys have failed to step up and do anything to make up for the loss of Rodgers on either side of the ball.
I'd wholeheartedly agree. So I think it's harder on this defense with a guy like Rodgers being out. And that's, it's, once he left, it's harder on both sides of the ball. Not equally, unequally, more on the offense. But how the team's built around one player like that, I mean, that's ideally what you want. That's what you want and can win in the NFL. But the fact that this team you almost expected the defense to get a little worse without Rodgers.
Sure. Yeah.
Because there was more pressure on them. But just the fact that, like, how much they dropped off. And there's not one game that says, okay, they stepped up and they should, you know, if the Packers would have had a competent offense, competent quarterback, they would have won that game the way the defense played. In every game since Rodgers been out, there's not been one instance where the defense has stepped up. It's not so much being blown out against Detroit, against that offense. It's not stepping up to the plate and, you know, not getting off the field against Philly and Chicago. Basically, embarrassing yourselves against New York.
Yep.
Embarrassing yourselves against the Vikings.
Oh, they tied since we last did a podcast too.
Oh, yeah. I forget about that one.
And that's all we're going to say about that.
But on the offense side of the ball, I think there is a couple bright spots of guys stepping up. I don't think it's a coincidence that we saw how good Eddie Lacy can be. I think it's also promising to realize, hey, we got a third wide receiver now in Jared Boykin if James Jones decides to walk.
When James Jones inevitably signs the 4-year, $22 million contract to go be a 1 or a 1A receiver somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, 1 year into it, that said team will be regretting that contract.
Yes, I think there's been a lot of positives on this offense, offensive line notwithstanding. But I think basically Boykin and Lacy, and you can even look at a guy like Bostic,
yep,
where you can see the talent.
Yeah, I'm very excited about Bostic and very, very excited about Jared Boykin.
And with Boykin and Bostic, you think the development would have happened with Rodgers, but I don't think it's underrated to say that, you know, with Tolzien in there, that he's been throwing those guys in practice. That you have a little more familiarity with those guys. So it's promising, a little more promising in the offense. I'm not so much worried about that. I think once you stick Randall Cobb and Aaron Rodgers back there, you're going to be right back top five offense again.
Yeah, and I think that's also something that's hurt. I don't want to give the backup quarterbacks a pass because God knows if you follow us, Adam and I, on Twitter on Sundays, we're not giving these backups a pass for being so bad. But like you look at like Josh McCown, right? People go, well, Josh McCown's winning games. I'm like, well, yeah, but he also has Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, and Martellus Bennett, you know? Like, if Cobb, well, let me ask you, if Cobb and Finley were both healthy this entire time Rodgers is out, do you think that they would have at least a couple of wins?
Yeah.
I do, too.
I think they would have beat the Giants and beat the Vikings.
I agree. I think it's not just not having the quarterback. It's not – listen, I love Jordy Nelson. Jordy Nelson's a great receiver. But, you know, James Jones is good and Boykin's on the rise. But those guys – none of those guys are X-factor players like Cobb. We talk about that a lot, X-factor guys. None of those guys are X-factors like Cobb and Finley are.
Yeah, because all they need is a couple of plays to turn a game around.
Yep. Yep, and Nelson certainly can do that and has done that a lot, but, you know, it's just not the same without having those two. I mean, if they had those two healthy, I think this team has guaranteed one more win, probably two.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point that the loss of Rodgers has overshadowed the loss of Finley and Cobb. Those are two huge losses.
Yep.
So, with that being said, even with the way this defense has played, and you can expect to play a little better if Rodgers was healthy, if Rodgers was healthy and played, with Cobb and Finley being gone in the last five games, what do you think the record would have been?
Oh, well, they would have beat the Bears if we're counting that game. Or are we counting no doubt it?
No. No, I mean, you can count. Yeah, no, since Rodgers has been hurt,
they beat the Bears.
0-4-1. What would have the record been with Rodgers?
The only game I'm not sure they would have won is Philly. But I think they would have beat I know they would have beat the Bears. They would have beat the Giants. Definitely would have beat the Vikings.
Maybe the Lions.
The
way the defense played, I mean, you think with that game would have been turned into a shootout, then you like your chances. But let's just say they drop Philly and Detroit. At worst, they go 3-2. At best, they probably go 5-0.
So what are we? Eight and four.
You're probably 8-4, worst case scenario, and you're right there, for the number three seed.
Yep, 8-4 going in the last month of the year.
With a chance to get a bye.
Yeah, 8-4, and then, yeah, I agree.
But if you throw Finley and Cobb on that team, they're 10-2 right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's – even with Rodgers, they probably would still have lost a couple games in this last month and a half.
Yeah, at least one, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then, yeah, I agree. Those are just so huge. You know, and boy, and the news on Cobb is not encouraging at all. He hasn't even started running yet. It's like, oh.
That's the one guy I think we talk about Rodgers, and we'll dive into this in a minute, if he should come back or shouldn't come back. But that's one guy I think with Cobb, he's been out for so long, he's not even eligible to come back to week 15. We saw when they came back, when James Jones came back from injury, they eased him into his first game back. So, I mean, you're talking about Cobb coming back full speed until week 17. So that's one of the things where you can wait a few weeks. And if they're out of it, he's definitely being shut down. There's no question about it.
And if you're Randall Cobb, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. Like, if you're Randall Cobb, don't you almost want to be shut down? Not that you'd ever say that publicly, but I mean, he's almost literally sitting on a gigantic pile of money.
Yeah.
For what he, you know, his contract is up at the end of next year, right? This guy's basically Percy Harvin minus all the headaches, both off the field and, you know, literally with all the headache stuff that Harvin has. I mean, I didn't even plan that pun as I was saying it, but I was like, well, that works two ways. But, I mean, he's basically, like, sitting on a mountain of money, you know? And if you're Cobb, it's like, hey, I broke my leg or whatever it was. Like, I don't know if I want to come back and push it to play for this team.
Well, it's like, even if he wants to resign the Packers, he...
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean the Packers organization, I should say. I mean this 2013 edition.
Oh, yeah. B.J. Raji is the one example I can really think of, Thompson letting a big-time free agent guy that you would want them to bring back to hit free agency. So you think Cobb, sounds right, had a plan this year, you know, ideally Cobb being healthy, to resign him this offseason.
Yep.
You know, that's a little bump in the road now. I still think the plan's probably there, but yeah, like I said, if you're Randall Cobb and you come back week 15 and you look like shit the last 3 weeks of the season, you just don't look healthy, you don't look right, don't have the same explosiveness. Not saying you won't get it back with a whole full season of recovery and training. That'll hurt your value. I mean, Cobb left, when he got hurt, he left at a very high value, and that still is in the front of everyone's mind, and he's done nothing since because he's been hurt, but there's been no, like, you know, bad prognosis that he's not going to make a full recovery to hurt his value. It sounds weird to say, but he could probably only hurt his market value by playing the last three games.
Right. Right. It's just, I don't see much upside in that if I'm Randall Cobb.
Because especially if James Jones walks this year, which I think he will.
I think so, too.
Packers will make a decent offer, but, you know, probably a little stronger offer than they made Greg Jennings, but they're not going to be disappointed if he walks. So when that happens, and say if Finley's not back, you know, he might not play ever again. We don't know that. But so you're leaving yourself with Nelson and Boykin, and, you know, Nelson and both Cobb are free agents. I mean, you got to sign Randall Cobb. You just have to this offseason.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if Nelson and Cobb both get extensions this offseason.
That would be awesome if that happened.
I think that probably will. You know, which is part of why you let a guy like Tremont Williams go, or, you know, who knows with Raji at this point. I mean, I still think the money is on Raji coming back, but boy, he didn't help his case on Thanksgiving on national television, get single blocked out of a play by a guy like Rob Sims, who is basically your baseline NFL guard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's your borderline average guy, and he was just kicking Raji's ass. Every seemed like so many replays, it was just single blocked. I'm like, what is going on here with Raji?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. I think you're going to save some money when they get rid of Tremont Williams, probably Brad Jones. But I think they want to bring Raji back at the price they offered him. It's, you know, I think the money's on him to take that price eventually. But I think he wants to see what else he can get. And there might be a team desperate enough to pay him enough money. So It's not so much that the Packers don't want to bring him back. They may just – another team may just way overpay for him.
It seemed like a team like maybe, say, the Oakland Raiders, who could have as much as $70 million in cap space.
Yeah, exactly.
With a GM that he knows well.
The GM that basically drafted Raji.
Right.
Was
instrumental in him being picked, right.
Yeah. So, that's going to be – I don't know where to go with that, because I think Thompson wants to bring him back and wants to pay him what he's due, but he may just get overpaid by another team. And if you save money that way, you could even make a case that Jamin Jones comes back. But you definitely make the case that Nelson and Cobb get re-signed. And you also got some other contracts to take care of, too, with Sam Shields. I'm not saying Bulaga's going to get a new deal this offseason, but his rookie contract's, you know, running up to.
Evan Dietrich Smith is a free agent.
Yeah.
He's been very good this season. I mean, we talked about Mike Neal being free agent. I mean, there's a lot, folks. Get ready. There's a lot of free agents on this team.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys who are 2 years away, too. So even a guy like Brian Bulaga, we haven't talked to at all this whole year, that you're seeing more and more that he's definitely going to be a starter on this team next
year. You think
year.
So?
We're at
right tackle?
So. Yeah.
I think they're going to let him and Sherrod battle it out, but I wouldn't be surprised if Bulaga wins.
Yeah, I mean, unless someone beats him, but I think he didn't lose his job. A right tackle, I think back turns enough at left tackle. But Barclay's been injury prone a little bit, has been inconsistent at times. And I think they like Barclay to be that jack of all trades guy. That he can play guard, he can play tackle. Because you get two guards in Lang and Sin, but what if Dietrich Smith walks too? You already signed one free agent center 2 years ago and that didn't work out. You're probably, you know, promoting from within. I think Bulaga is a starter, and Barclay is going to probably go back to his backup role, but he's going to be a flex guy. You just can't have too many options there. It's a good problem to have.
They got, you know, I'm sorry, I don't mean to yawn into my mic. I was just talking about this the other night, too. They got really effed, and I don't think people even realized it at the time, when J.C. Tretter, the fourth round, I believe, pick, broke his ankle in OTAs. Because I think they had plans for him to be the backup center.
Well, even in the press conference this week,
they were apt when that, because they never went out and got a guy. They just thought, well, we'll have Barclay be the backup center, which was a terrible idea. And, like, you know, they never – I think Tretter, I don't know if he would have been Bakhtiari-esque, but you know what I mean? He could have been that key guy, that key rookie, to step in and fill a role when Smith got hurt. But then you're moving Lang over. And then everybody's favorite, Marshall Newhouse, comes back in.
Yeah, I think Tretter is interesting option going in next year, because I think McCarthy likes him a lot. He said something in the press conference this week. Somebody asked about Tretter. So, you know, good to see him in pads today. He's rusty, obviously, but it's good to see him work today. That the fact that he would even, you know, mention that, and he's mentioned Tretter, you know, earlier this season. I think he's a guy that's going to be in the fold next year. Newhouse is going to be gone. Sherrod, you know, what are we going to see from Sherrod this year? Are they going to give him a chance?
I was surprised. I know we don't want to talk the Lions game that much, but I was surprised that they waited so long to put him in. You know, they finally benched Newhouse late game and moved, made a shift around to get Sherrod in. And I kept saying, you know, once it became clear the game was out of reach, I'm like, I have Derek Sherrod in. This would be the perfect chance for him to get his feet wet. And they waited until, like, right at the end to put him in.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Shot of Newhouse. You remember that during the game on Thursday? That shot of us on the sidelines with all the towels on his head?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that is the best anybody will see of Marlon Newhouse. what a sad final shot that is.
Yeah. Which, he's the one of the guys who we want to think, okay, if Rodgers comes back this week, not 100%, but like say 85%, he plays. Is it even worth the risk with guys you trying out Marshall Newhouse out there?
Especially today with like Bakhtiari missing practice because of his illness. You know, it's like you literally think this offensive line Sunday could be from left to right, Marshall Newhouse, Not saying it will be, but there's potential. Because Newhouse did work at tackle today. Newhouse, Josh, TJ playing at center. What was it? Lane Taylor at right guard and Don Barclay at right tackle. Pinpoint, no, I don't think you do put Aaron Rodgers behind that offensive line. Even against a team like Atlanta that really only has one guy, Umanyora, who gets to the quarterback because they've struggled to rush the passer all year. Even with that being said, I don't know if I play Rodgers behind that offensive line.
You're talking about, you know, let's just get into this right now. You know, should you shut down Rodgers or shouldn't you? That's a good indication why you should shut him down. That offensive line.
It's this week, right? I mean, I'm not even going to say this game is a must win. Because I'm tired of saying it. I feel like you and I say this every week.
It's been a must win for the last three weeks.
And they've lost them all. And somehow, because...
Remember after the Chicago game, we're like, okay, they dropped that one. St. Wells came in unprepared. It happens. Chicago's a decent team. As long as he can weather the storm and go 1-1 in the next two games against Philly and New York, they're going to be all right.
They lost to both. It was like, all right. Well, Minnesota, this is it. And then they tie. Like, somehow, because this division, everybody's derping all over themselves.
Yeah.
The 5-6-1 Packers actually still have a chance to make the playoffs. Win out, for those who know, I really couldn't, but win out and have the Lions lose two. And then let's play. Their next 2 weeks are at Philly and Baltimore at home.
Yeah, it'll get dicey.
Which, oh, and then they play the Giants, who never go down easy. And then the Vikings, who helped us out last week.
Yeah.
So it's like...
It's there.
I mean, we're talking about the Rodgers thing. I just wanted to get that out quick, that, like, can't even believe this team has a chance to blast, but somehow they do.
Yeah, I had a guy from work today who's a Vikings fan, and he's like, they got to win. They have to win this game, right? It's Atlanta. They're one of the worst teams in the league. And I just laughed. I'm like, they've been playing some of the worst teams in the league the last 3-4 weeks. It doesn't matter. They tied with the Vikings. They lost to the Giants.
I don't know. That team that played on Thursday could beat anybody, right?
Yeah,
there's no team in the league to beat.
They go to Jacksonville, they probably lose, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting as we're recording this, and it's 15-0 Jacksonville. And every time I look, I know Houston sucks. Like every time they go to Jacksonville's make plays. So yeah, I think they would beat the Jaguars. No, I don't.
Okay, so Houston is the worst team in the league. Then they go to Houston. Ben Tate gets 110 yards and 2 touchdowns, right?
Yeah.
Andre Johnson has probably 120 yards receiving. Like this.
Yeah, they would lose to Houston.
J.J. Watt would have a career day.
Yes, I mean, you know, for those of you listening, you could probably, I'm sort of tipping my hand where I'm going to go when we make our predictions here at the end. But just, you know, we'll go back to the Rodgers thing here because I did get us sidetracked. But, like, yeah, I think if you lose this week, I don't see any point in continuing to play him, you know, because people say, well, you know, you should always play to win. You should never mail it in. This isn't the NBA or whatever. And I understand that point of view, but I also think you do have to start thinking about the draft, you know, because you were talking before we came on air that, like, right now you're picking, what, 11th, 10th, 11th, 12th in the draft. If Rodgers comes back and you win, say you lose this week, and then say they ran the table, won their last three. What are they then? 8-7-1? Is that right?
Yeah.
So you're 8-7-1. At that point, you're going from picking. So you're 8-7-1. Now, if you shut Rodgers down after losing this week, maybe they win a game. So the difference between having 6 wins and 8 wins, oh gosh, that's probably 5 or 6 draft spots, I would think. You know, and then
No, go ahead.
Oh, what were you going to say?
No, finish what you're saying.
I was just going to say, and then, you talk about upgrading a safety. Maybe a guy like Ha-Ha Clinton Dix from Alabama. Or maybe he's not there now. You know, or you want to get a tight end or replace Finley. Maybe he's not there now. I do think
So I think that stuff has to be – I do think that stuff has to be factored in if you lose this week.
Yeah, and the thing is, though, as long as Rodgers is 100% at some point this year, they're not going to play him at probably 85 or even 90%, which mm-hmm. an issue like this, which could, you know, reoccur and you could re-break it, I think that's a smart move.
Mm-hmm.
But the once he gets to the point where he is 100%, and if it's week 16, they're not going to IR Aaron Rodgers the last month of the season. It's just they, you know how much pull he has. They're not. If Rodgers is 100% at some point this year, he's going to play, if we like it or not. They're not going to mail it in. They're not going to.
Yeah, you're right.
The last few weeks.
No, you're right.
Now, I think where I think it comes in if he should play or shouldn't play is what is the threshold of him being healthy enough to play? Is it at where he is at right now, which we don't even know, like on a percentage? So is it 85%? Can he play at 90%?
Yeah. Well, I think he can play right now, don't you? Just based on his comments and stuff, it feels like he wants to.
Yeah, but all the players want to play more than they should.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
I mean, Woodson, in his comments this week, said when he broke his couple, and every break's different, that he wanted to come back as early as, like, week 13 or 14. He didn't come back to week 17 that year. He missed 11 weeks. Mm-hmm. So it's all, I mean, the trainers, you know, athletes know their bodies more than the trainers, but something like a broken bone, it's on the x-ray, you know? So if the threshold of where he can, that the trainers or the team signs off that he can play at, say it's 90% healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I think if the Packers are out of it by week 16, you don't let him come back until he's 100%. Now, if he's 90% this Sunday, whatever the predetermined percentage they think he's healthy enough to play, I think he plays until the Packers are fully eliminated. But I think if he's at any point this year, he's 100%, he's playing. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I agree with you. The draft picks would definitely be nice. The higher draft pick, you know, being picked higher in each round. But the one benefit of Rodgers playing this year is you have a better evaluation of some of these guys.
Yeah. No, that's a fair counterpoint. I've heard that from a lot of people that
Rodgers
gives you a better idea of what you're working with on offense in particular.
And even on defense a little bit. I mean, if this defense all of a sudden responds,
mm-hmm.
you know, with Rodgers in there, with a competent offense, you know, maybe you have a better idea of, you know, who you want to bring back next year, you know, who's battling for spots. Is all of a sudden, is Micah Hyde a corner you can count on next year? Or you think you have to draft another one? Can Devon Hollis be the opposite corner of Sam Shields? You know, there's a litany of reasons for evaluation-wise. I think if Rodgers plays again this year, will be helpful. Now, does that outweigh his health concerns? Does that outweigh the draft position? You know, do you want to get a better idea of Scott Tolzien as your backup for the future, which a few weeks ago we were championing, but after watching that Vikings game, I'm not so sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a lot of pros and there's a lot of cons, too.
I agree. No, that's very fair. I think you could learn. I actually think you could learn a lot either way. Really, like all that
yeah.
stuff. Like all that you just said is absolutely true. Like by playing Rodgers, you can learn a lot about a lot. But I also think, like I said earlier in the show, that I think you could learn a lot about a lot not by playing him either. So I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of positives and negatives both ways.
It's interesting because if this team isn't building for the future, so if you had a veteran quarterback. Or if, you know, you had a team like the Vikings, you had a guy like Christian Ponder, who's probably not going to play the rest of the year. It doesn't matter because he's not going to be back next year. They're rebuilding. But if you had a veteran guy, you know, say if Favre went down late in his career, with a similar injury with Rodgers, and you know he was going to be out the door, he's going to retire soon, then there's the benefit of shutting him down to see what this young team has. But Aaron Rodgers is the future. So there's nothing to be learned from the quarterback standpoint unless you think, you want to get a better evaluation of Scott Tolzien as a backup. I mean, Rodgers is the future, so anything that you learn from this year has to be addressed with Aaron Rodgers next year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting dilemma, and I think it's going to just come back down to health. It, you know, it's a broken bone.
I think you're ultimately right. Right. And yeah, I think you're ultimately right, and I want to stress that, that when he's 100%, if and when he get there, he will play. I don't know if that's the decision I would make. You know what I mean? If I was, if it were me in charge, I think if they lose this week, I would shut him down regardless. But like, you're ultimately right that he's going to play.
And the other, the last point I'll make on this, Rodgers, a benefit of Rodgers playing. I mean, you look at the Stewies, he's a huge, you know, investment for this team. So do you want to risk that investment of him playing this year if he's at 100%? No, because you gave him a lot of money. But if he's 100% and you're out of it and he wants to play, how can you tell him, no, you're not going to play?
That's the other
thing. You know, and that's it's not much Rodgers, you know, running this team or being arrogant like, you know, Favre did towards the end. He's the best quarterback in the league. He's your highest paid player. He's your franchise face. How can you tell a guy who's 100% healthy that you cannot play when the team is not in a rebuilding mode?
I think the only way you could explain it to him, if it were, I mean, if this were me trying to shut him down, I would just say, look, Aaron, you're 30. You just turned 30. I know you want to play these last few weeks. I get that. You're a competitor. But that said, you're 30. You've still got another at least 2 years in your prime. Prime. We got Eddie coming back next year. He's going to be 23. We look like we're really set up a lot of places if the health thing swings our way. By you not playing will allow us to add, you know, we're picking higher in round one. We're picking higher in round two. It allows us more of an opportunity to give the team that last shot in the arm it needs for next season. Now, I don't know if that would work, though. I don't know if that calms him down, because it might not. He might still be pissed. He probably would be. But that's if it were me in that spot and I was trying to shut him down, that's just what I would say. It's just, look, it's 3 weeks to set us up maybe for the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, you have to get him to buy in on that.
Right, and I don't know if he would. I'm just saying that's what I would attempt to tell him if I was shutting him down. Is just, look, man, just let's get through these next 3 weeks. I know you're going to be pissed. I get that, and I'm glad that you're pissed. I wouldn't want you to accept this, but maybe we can open ourselves up here for another title run in the next couple of years by getting some good players here in May.
Do you worry about if he's healthy? In this conversation Thompson and McCarthy had with Rodgers one-on-one, if he's healthy and the rest of the team knows he's healthy, even if they're, you know, lose this week with Matt Flynn at quarterback, but you know, they still have pride and they still, you know, there's 3 weeks left. Do you worry about the teammates trusting the coaching staff and how will his team react to, hey, our best player, the guy who gives us the best chance to win, we've lost five in a row, or six, actually be six, five losses in a tie, be winless for 6 weeks, we just want to win a game, and they're going to take away, they're cutting their noses to their face almost, like, you know, how will the team react to that?
Well, they might, you know, and that's a great, they might, that might not go over well.
And it's not so much spilling over for those last weeks, but it could spill over into next season too. So it's
could,
you know, you're taking away, you know, 52 other guys, or excuse me, 53 other guys. Rosters are 54 now. That give the, you know, the best chance to win.
No, that's a really good point. And maybe
and not
Scott,
even
Matt, maybe
not
I am
Matt
thinking about this.
Got,
maybe I am thinking about this too single mindedly, and I probably am not thinking of the locker room as a whole in that hypothetical that I laid out. Because you're right, they could backfire.
Even if Rodgers buys into that, you know, shutting him down, you know, 3 weeks for the next 3 years, you're not going to have the whole other the rest of the locker room. I mean, a guy like Ryan Pickett, who's on his last legs. I'm not saying even if they're out of the playoff contention, but just what if he retires within a year and he wants to go on an 8-game losing streak? You know, I don't know.
No, you're right, and I think No, that's a good point. I guess I can't really counter that. That's a good point. That it might not go over well. It probably wouldn't.
And I guess leading into Sunday, we don't know if he's playing or not. I mean, we're recording this on a Thursday night, so.
Well, right, and it sounds like they said a decision Friday, but then they said even Saturday, so who knows, you know?
I have a feeling he's not going to play. He's not going to get
I don't think he is. I think this week, I think they had him doing some throwing last week. You know, now they're doing a little bit more this week. All signs point to Dallas. And they're hoping that they can just somehow, some way, pull out a victory on Sunday here and get Rodgers back. And if the Lions of Philly, which very well
Yeah, it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
They had victories that could have been possible, you know, the last few weeks. So what could, if Rodgers doesn't play, the game plan's there, they got to win this with Eddie Lacy. Atlanta doesn't have a strong defense.
Nope, who, Atlanta's been gashed on the ground pretty much all year, especially recently.
And we haven't talked much about Lacy this week, but something that certainly has not been talked about nationally or locally a whole lot that I've seen. The Packers play, you could argue, an older version of Eddie Lacy, or a younger version of Steven Jackson is what they have in the roster. A running back, you and I have been clamoring for how many years?
We wanted Steven Jackson. I remember writing a blog post about it, I think, in 2009.
Yeah.
Long time.
And it reached a fever pitch this summer when it was basically down to the Packers and the Falcons for Steven Jackson. And supposedly the Falcons gave him a little better contract than the Packers, so he chose Atlanta.
We were like, you and I were literally on, like, emergency standby. We were going to do an emergency podcast when Jackson signed. I remember that.
Yeah, and that didn't happen.
Nope.
So Thompson, you know, got a lot of criticism. You know, what are you going to do with this running game, this and that? You know, you have to take advantage of, you know, Rodgers now. Like, you're going to waste away his prime years. Like, you're wasting away Favre's prime years, this and that, and blah, blah, blah. Well, Steven Jackson, you know, he had his best game of the year last week. He's been hurt off and on all year. Actually, not off and on. He missed probably about a month and a half and took a while to recover. Whereas Eddie Lacy's the sure bet to win, I think, NFL Rookie of the Year, barring something weird in the last month. In hindsight, Ted Thompson's making all the Steven Jackson, you know, bubbles, us included, look like idiots.
Us included, yep.
You know, I mean, yeah. Steven Jackson represented everything we wanted out of Steven Jackson is being, you know, Eddie Lacy represents that now. Like, that style of running back.
Yeah, exciting.
Like, if we knew Thompson was going to draft Eddie Lacy and he was going to be this good and this aggressive, we would have laughed at the fact that we wanted Steven Jackson on this team.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Hell yeah.
I just think it's interesting that, you know, this game against Atlanta, we obviously was flexed out. Second game the Packers have been flexed out of this year. I don't know if that's a record, but
Somehow we're still getting Tom Brenneman and Brian Billick. I was like, we're not getting the Z team again from the Minnesota
team? I think they're open Rodgers plays.
That'd be it, right? That's the only reason why they sent us an actual professional broadcasting team.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, maybe if Rodgers plays, then it'll be worth it.
So, this game has lost a lot of its appeal. I think when the NFL put the Sunday night in December, we're like, all right.
Remember when we were going through the schedule? We were like, when it came out, we were like, oh, what a huge game that's going to be.
Yeah.
Sunday night football, Julio Jones.
Yeah.
Julio Jones, Randall Cobb, Rodgers, you know what I mean? All the names. And it's like, well,
all right, so Atlanta is just thinking about Jadeveon Clowney. The Packers have no idea what direction they're going. It's like, wah, wah, wah. But it still, I think, has some appeal. I think the Steven Jackson and Lacy storyline is definitely interesting. Can the Packers stop Roddy White, though? That's the other big storyline.
And Atlanta has had a brutal season, but really played hard the last couple of weeks. Like, I watched that Thursday night game against New Orleans. They really battled the Saints hard as a divisional opponent, you know, which helps. But then I was watching, after we got back from Michigan on Sunday, like, it's the Bills in Toronto. But they played hard in that game, too, you know, and they ended up pulling it out in overtime. Like, Atlanta is showing a little bit, maybe late season burst, you know, or a little late season, I should say. So
I think their situation's a little different than some of these other teams. You can tell, like, Houston's quit, the Vikings have quit. You know, they won last week. I still think, I think with Castle in there, maybe they haven't quit, but if Ponder's a quarterback, they've quit. There's a lot of teams that are struggling that have quit or have the signs or just buy them out, rebuilding. Atlanta's just been very, their defense isn't that good, but they've also been very unlucky this year. That Tony Gonzalez, you know, hasn't been 100%. Roddy White's been in and out of injuries. They've lost Julio Jones all year. Steven Jackson's been injured. They've had injuries against along the offensive line. So it's, you look at Atlanta, they may get a top five pick, and they may end up with Jadeveon Clowney, which is probably the best case scenario for him. You know, going to a team that's not that far away. Like, it wouldn't shock anyone if Atlanta stays healthy. You get a couple high draft picks, and all of a sudden they're 12-4 next year, battling for the NFC South title in a first round bye.
Because isn't Atlanta kind of a mirror? I'm not to say totally mirror image of Green Bay, but I do think there's a sense that, like, you know, like you talked about Matt Ryan, you know, it looked like Ryan and Julio Jones and Roddy White, Steven Jackson. Like, it's also, I didn't even forget him. But it was like a team, you know what I mean, offensive driven. Like, the defense, even in camp and stuff, everybody kind of knew, like, it's not the greatest defense. But they're going to score so many points that the defense will always be in a position to succeed. And then as soon as their offense fell apart, then the defense really got exposed. You know? Like you said, White's been battling injuries all year. Jones has been out since September. Like, you know what I mean? It definitely mirrors Green Bay in that sense.
Yeah.
Once the offense couldn't get it going, the defense really is bad.
These two teams are very, very similar, which begs the question, if they're so similar, what would the Falcons have done if they'd been this bad with Matt Ryan? What would they have done without Matt Ryan if he was the guy who got hurt?
I don't know.
Remember we were going through all those backup quarterbacks in the league? Atlanta probably had the worst. You thought the Packers were bad with Seneca Wallace and Scott Tolzien. I'm going to just double check just to see if this has changed since September, but I don't think it has. Have you heard of a guy named Dominique Davis?
Nope.
Well, he's a second-year pro from East Carolina. I don't even know if this guy was even drafted.
Was there a running back named Dominique Davis?
Dominique Davis.
Dominique Davis.
Was.
That was the guy from LSU, but Houston. This is Dominique.
Yeah. This is Dominique, like the dream. No, that's Hakeem Olajuwon.
No, Dominique was human highlight reel.
God. That's why NBA sucks.
Human highlight reel, but also played in Atlanta.
Yes. So, Dominique Davis's stats this year and for his career. This came in, I believe, mop-up duty against Tampa Bay earlier this year. 5-for-7 for 34 yards.
A crisp 6.9 yards per completion.
Which is a better stat line than Seneca Wallace had.
That's true. Boy, they bought, you know, it's been talked about so much. Boy, did Green Bay F up the backup quarterback situation. They F that up so badly.
Yeah.
You know, it was like we're going to roll. Like, you just think, I know it's been written to death and talked about, but just like, we've never really talked about it. But it was like, you know, like all offseason, it was like, we're rolling with Graham Harrell as the 2 and B.J. Coleman as the 3. Early on in camp, they looked like shit. We're rolling with those guys. Then all of a sudden, it was like, wait, never mind. We're blowing everything up.
Yeah, but would this team, this time would be worse off than, I don't know if actually, I guess they're 0-4-1. They can't really have been worse off if Graham Harrell was a quarterback. They could have been 0-5. They could have lost that Vikings game with Graham Harrell.
They probably have been playing fast and loose with backup quarterback situation for longer than season two, you know? Really, since Matt left, they've been kind of playing a little fast and loose as far as, like, well, Mike can just develop anyone. And it turns out that he can't.
There's just some guys that can't be developed.
We talked about the offseason a little bit. I don't think Flynn's coming back. But, like, I do think Tolzien, I'm curious to see if they add a third guy. I would like that. You know?
We'll talk about this in the offseason, but I think it's just something that listeners can keep in back of mind. Is Scott Tolzien the answer at number two?
OTAs and mini camps.
Yep.
And training camps and preseason. He might be, but he might not be, and that's what makes me think, like, maybe they do need to go get another veteran guy. Or maybe they need to maybe they even need to use a third or fourth, or not third, but maybe a fourth or fifth round draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, that's a storyline for the off-season podcast, but I think it's just something to keep back in mind.
I'm not trying to get a vein open on or anything. It is something I thought about. Like, I wonder what they're going to do.
Yeah. So let's just get to the predictions. We're running short on time here.
The least fun.
Without Rodgers, because I think with Rodgers, they're going to win this game.
Yeah. And if Rodgers plays, we'll predicate it by saying that. If Rodgers plays, they will win, and they will win.
I think they'll win by two touchdowns if Rodgers plays.
Oh, I think maybe even more. Yeah, I think that says because, you know, you get those guys from Atlanta coming up to Green Bay. It's going to be cold and snowy. Rodgers plays. I don't think it would be quite as bad as the Tennessee game last year, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was close to that, you know?
Yeah.
Because the Packers get Rodgers, that's that shot in the arm. Major blow. I think maybe even like a 3-touchdown win. If Rodgers plays.
Let's just put it this way. If Rodgers plays, you will see Matt Flynn in this game in the fourth quarter.
Yep. I think if Rodgers plays, it's a huge win for Green Bay.
But it's under the assumption that he won't play, I think I would say the odds are probably about 70-30 that he won't play.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be more shocked at this point if he did play.
I would be stunned, I think, if he played.
It's the same story. They probably score more points than they did against Detroit. Atlanta's a little worse defense. I think it's probably going to be a cross between the Giants and Vikings game. I think it's going to be very similar to the Vikings game, except for the fact that I don't know how this – Roddy White's healthy now, healthy enough. He showed up big last week against Buffalo. I think he had 10 catches last week. I'm going to look that up.
Yeah,
quick.
He did.
Steven Jackson's rounding into form. Matt Ryan is still Matt Ryan. I don't know how – without – Rodgers, and you say, how does Rodgers affect this defense? Well, he, you know, takes the pressure off, but I don't know how this defense is going to stop Atlanta's offense. I don't think it's going to be as bad as Detroit was last week, but you saw Christian Ponder move the ball. You saw Eli Manning move the ball. So I haven't picked the Packers to lose much this year, but without Rodgers, I have them going down 27-17.
Atlanta?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of pretty much, yeah, I just think I was really horrified when Matt Flynn played quarterback last week. And I don't think his offensive line did any favors, but I don't think Flynn himself any favors either. It's like Ty Dunn from the Journal Sentinel said, if you could combine Flynn's knowledge of the offense with Tolzien's arm, you might actually have a backup who could win some games. But unfortunately, you can't do that, and we're stuck with Matt Flynn. Even against this Atlanta defense, I don't think he'll be able to do much. I think Lacy will have a big day regardless. But
he always does.
He always does, especially against a team like this. You know, the Lions, they're so good against the run, which is why he didn't. But, yeah, I don't think this offense will be able to put many points on the board with Matty Flynn running the show. And everything you said about the defense, I agree wholeheartedly with. I think they'll get shredded. And I think... with Matt Flynn playing quarterback, I will say Atlanta 28, Green Bay 17. So basically the same score. No, you know what? Let me amend that. 28-16.
All right, I'm going to hold you to that. If they score 17, I'm going to go on your gravestone.
Because you're saying 27-17?
Yeah. And I'm we can pick the same score.
I know, but I don't know if they'll even score. But even when I think about it, I'm like, I don't know if they'll score two touchdowns. Maybe a touchdown and three Mason field goals.
Well, I'm calling Micah Hyde for one in the return game.
Are you calling Micah Hyde? Okay, that makes sense. So I'll say 28-16. I just don't it. I keep saying the same thing. Could they win? Sure. But I don't. This team has yet to show me that they can win a game. And until they can win a game without Rodgers, I can't pick them to win one.
Well, there you have it. We don't have
fun times. Boy, was this a fun podcast, huh, Packer fans? Just think, if they lose, we're going to do three more of these. What the hell?
Really?
Before we go, what the hell are we going to talk about if they lose and Rodgers was shut down? Like, what the hell are we going to talk about the rest of the season?
Two words: mock drafts.
Is that?
That's where we're going with.
It'll just be me and you reading mock drafts.
Yep. That's going to be some thrilling audio.
Going over salary cap charts. Okay, so Adam, next season, the cap charge on Jordy Nelson is, and you're going to be like, all right, raise.
Yeah.
We're
going to
break down bowl games, maybe? Well, I don't know what we're going to do.
No, bowl games aren't until like the end of December, January.
Shit.
I don't know.
Mock drafts and salary charts. And then we can open up a whole bag of pox.
Oh, I like where your head's at.
That's what we'll do.
All is not lost. So until
now I feel better.
So until next week, I'm Adam Summer. Oh, boy.
Bay Packers podcast is brought to you by Mayfield Sports Marketing, our official sports marketing agent for player appearances. To book a Packers player for your next event, go to PackersTalk.com and click on player appearances. Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.